from traveling in a desert, when one, after a long time, has the opportunity to drink fresh, clear, nectarine water, there is great jubilation. Similarly, after a long time of separation, we are most jubilant to be back in the transcendental association of His Holiness Srila Jai Advaita Maharaj, who has come to nourish our thirsty hearts with the ambrosial water of the Gopinath Temple. It is a great surprise that he has come today, because he called earlier this morning, and we called back many times, but you know how operators may be. So after several attempts, just a few minutes ago, the operator said, "I already gave him your message that you called, but he is now in the temple of Radharas Bihari giving a lecture." So just after getting this message, with a sorrowful heart, I came out of the room of my, or the door of my room, and standing right at the door was His Holiness Jai Advaita Maharaj. So from this, I received a symbolic message that there must be no difference between Radharas Bihari Temple and Radha Gopinath Temple. So we should give up all sectarian ideas. We would like to invite you to kindly speak, Maharaj. Thank you very much.
Fortunate to have your company again. I like your explanation, because I thought that what had happened was that by your mercy, I developed mystic power so that I was in both places at once. But that didn't seem right. Your explanation is better.
I have no mercy. It is your mystic power that you go where the most fallen souls need your help. Hare Krishna.
This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 16th chapter. Chintam aparameyam cha pralayantam upashrita kamo paphoga parama etavaditi nishchita asha pasha shatayar baddha kama krodha padayana ihante kama bhogatam anyayena tasanchayan. This is a portion of the description of the demons. They believe that to gratify the senses is the prime necessity of human life, human civilization. Thus, until the end of life, their anxiety is immeasurable. Bound by a network of hundreds of thousands of desires and absorbed in lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. Purport. The demoniac accept that the enjoyment of the senses is the ultimate goal of life, and this concept they maintain until death. They do not believe in life after death, and they do not believe that one takes on different types of bodies according to one's karma or activities in this world. Their plans for life are never finished, and they go on preparing plan after plan, all of which are never finished. We have personal experience of a person of such demonic mentality who, even at the point of death, was requesting the physician to prolong his life for 4 years more, because his plans were not yet complete. Such foolish people do not know that a physician cannot prolong life even for a moment. When the notice is there, there's no consideration of the man's desire. The laws of nature do not allow a second beyond what one is destined to enjoy. The demoniac person who has no faith in God or the supersoul within himself performs all kinds of sinful activities simply for sense gratification. He does not know that there's a witness sitting within his heart. The supersoul is observing the activities of the individual soul. As stated in the Upanishads, there are two birds sitting in one tree. One is acting and enjoying or suffering the fruits of the branches, and the other is witnessing. But one who is demonic has no knowledge of Vedic scripture nor any faith. Therefore, he feels free to do anything for sense enjoyment, regardless of the consequences. Yam cha pralayantam upashrita kamo pabhoga parama etavriti nishchita. Kamo pabhoga parama. Everyone has some goal in life. We ask a person, what is your aim in life? What is your goal in life? And if they have a clear idea at all, usually it's some idea for sense gratification. They say something like, to be the most I can be, or to get the best out of life, or to realize my full potential, or whatever it may be. And really it boils down to sense gratification. I was in somebody's room and I saw their high school yearbook, and the graduating students were saying what they wanted to be. And someone says that I want to get married and have a lot of kids and have a fantastic husband. And someone says that I want to have my own garage and fix cars and make a lot of money. And someone says on and on. And there, it all translates into, I want to have some program for gratifying my senses. And then they grow up, and still the same aspiration is there. Let me gratify my senses. Kamo pabhoga parama. Parama means the best, the supreme. If you ask, what is the best thing in life? Somehow you'll get something that means sense gratification. Kama means lusty desires, and bhoga, enjoyment. Let me enjoy. The best thing in life is to enjoy. That's the highest thing they can think of. They don't consider that the dog has the same goal in life. The hog has the same goal in life. If you were to interview the hog would give also the same kind of answer. My goal in life is to have a nice pool of garbage and nice family and enjoy my senses. Kamo pabhoga parama. So the misdirected human beings have no higher idea. Etavad iti nishchita. Etavad means it goes this far only. Kama, bhoga. Beyond that, above that, no idea. Kamo pabhoga parama. Life is meant for sense gratification. That's it. And what is the result of that orientation? Ashapasha shataya badha kama krodha parayana. Asha means aspirations, and pasha means ropes. So they're bound up by their own desires. They're entangled. This is entanglement. The more I'm desiring to enjoy, the more I'm becoming entangled by my own desires. Elsewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, they're called kamakami. Sashantim apnoti na kamakami. The Bhagavad Gita says, the person who tolerates, the desires will come. No one can live without desires. And in this material world, as conditioned souls, we have so many material desires. But Krishna says that the self-realized person, he lets those desires come, and he doesn't get serious about them. He doesn't pay attention to them. Apuryamanam achalam pratishtam samudramapa pravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishanti sarve sashantimapnoti nakamakami. So much water is coming into the ocean from the rivers, and the ocean is not getting disturbed. The ocean is not thinking, oh, here comes 60,000 gallons more from the Ganga, so I have to go up, or I have to go down, or I have to make waves. The ocean remains steady. So the Krishna conscious person, although so many desires might come into the mind, he doesn't think, this is very serious, I have to grab onto all these desires and try to satisfy them one after another. Whatever nonsense idea is coming, it's just some garbage, and let it go. I don't need this. Yeah, they're advertising, you need this, you can't live without this, your life will be better with this, be the first one, or don't be the last one to have this. And the Krishna conscious person is not affected. Therefore, sa shantim apnoti, he becomes peaceful. Sa shantim apnoti na kama kami. And the person who's desiring to desire to desire to desire, he's living for desires, he'll never be peaceful. They're agitating their mind that I'm not desiring something at the moment. What could I desire? They're encouraged. Think of all the things that you... They're agitating their mind. What could I... What don't I have? What could I have? What could make my life better? What would make it more exciting? So they're agitating their minds. Kama kami. Therefore, they never become peaceful. They're agitating their own minds. How will they be peaceful? And ashantasya kutasukam. Without peace, how will you be happy? So they're not at all happy. Rather, they're disturbed. Chintam. Chintam means anxieties. Because to satisfy my desires, I have to work very hard. In the Bhagavad Gita it said that the different modes of nature bind us to different entanglements. And Rajagun, the mode of passion, is characterized by thousands of desires. Passionate desires. I want this, I have to achieve that. I'll enjoy this. And what does Rajagun bind me to? Hard work. Because I'm desiring, I have to work hard. And because I'm working hard, I'm always in anxiety. And I can't enjoy. This is called Maya. My goal is to enjoy. My idea is sense gratification. And to get that sense gratification, I have to work like so hard that there's no question of enjoying. Then what is the use? It means I'm working for nothing. Not nothing, I'm working for anxiety. Chintam. Chintam means anxieties. Chintam, and how much anxiety? This much, this much, this much. Chintam aparameyam cha. Aparameyam means you can't measure it. It's off the scale. Chintam aparameyam cha. Unlimited anxiety. Why? Asha pasha shatayar badha. Because how many desires do I have? One or 60 or 80? Shatayi. Shatayi means thousands. Thousands of desires. And asha pasha shatayar badha. I'm bound up by all these desires. I want this. And if I don't get what I want, what happens? Frustration. And from frustration, anger. Therefore, dhyayato vishayapumsa, sangastesho vijayate, sangat sanjayate kama, kama krodho vijayate. I start thinking of something, then I want it, then I become passionately after it, then I don't get it, then I become angry. Krodhat bhavati sammohat, then I'm so angry I become bewildered. Sammohat smriti vibrahmaha, I forget who I am, what the purpose of my life is. Even in ordinary affairs, a man becomes angry at his wife because she's not fulfilling his desires, because she's not what he wants her to be. Then he becomes angry. Then he loses his control. Then he forgets, this is my wife. Then he sometimes shoots her. Smriti vibramaha, he forgets everything. Smriti bramshat buddhinasho. He loses his intelligence. And buddhinashat pranashati. When you lose your intelligence, you're finished. Buddhinashat pranashati. Now, people are beginning by desiring something and ending by losing their intelligence and becoming frustrated, angry, disappointed, dissatisfied, full of anxieties and frustrations. And someone may say, then how long does it last? Maybe in young men, angry young men, or passionate young men, they're affected by these things. But Krishna says, pralayantam upashita, pralaya anta, up to the point of death. Up to the point of death, to the last moment. To the last moment. The Prabhupada tells that story. Who was it? The advisor to Emperor Akbar? That he was asked by the king, how long does this lusty desire go on? So it was answered that it goes on till the time of death. So the king didn't believe. Then he was summoned one day, or not summoned, but requested again by the minister sometime later, that come with me and bring your daughter also. So they went together and they came to some quarter and into a place which was a hospital or a place where some man was dying. And the minister advised the king, watch his eyes. Then they came into the room and the king and his daughter, and at once the man's eyes, dying man's eyes, went to the daughter. Then the king accepted. Pralayantam upashrita. Up to the point of, at the point of death, where's the question of enjoying? Still, the material desire is such that his eyes are going to the daughter. Means, maybe I can still enjoy. He's in the mind only, but he's thinking, let me enjoy. Pralayantam upashrita. And there's no question of enjoying. There can only be frustration. Chintam aparameyamsha. That now I'm going to die and I won't be able to enjoy such a beautiful king's daughter. As if you were going to be able to enjoy anyway. But such is the mind. Chintam aparameyamsha. Pralyantam upashrita. Kamo papoga padama. Etavaditi nishchita. Ashapasha shatayar baddha. Kama krodha parayana. Kama krodha parayana. Just like we have Krishna parayana, always interested in Krishna. So they have kama krodha parayana. It's like a culture. We're cultivating Krishna consciousness, how to be more Krishna conscious. They're cultivating how to be more lusty, how to increase my passionate nature, how to become angry, how I can exceed you in being nasty. You've been nasty to me, but I can be more nasty to you. Competitive nastiness. Competitive anger. Therefore shouting matches. Material life, I shout at you and you shout back at me and I shout back at you until finally either I shout you down or you hit me. Kama krodha parayana. And this is what we do for pleasure. Kama krodha parayana. The more I can become like a big dog, barking and biting, the more I'm advanced in civilization. Individually, nationally, the nations also, they want to be like big dogs. We bark the loudest, we have the biggest teeth. They're big dogs only. and the nations and the leaders of such nations, they're also like cats and dogs. As Americans, we don't have to say anything. So these things are going on. And what is that? And their business is where is money? And that also eagerly. Ihante kamabhogartam. Ihante kamabhogartam. Anya yena artha sanchayan. Artha means money. Sanchayan, how to accumulate money. And anya yena, not by straight means. By hook or by crook. Especially crook. Somehow or other, how to get money, how to get money, how to get money, how to get money, so that we can enjoy. And the world is full of such demonic men trying to accumulate not even required money, so much money that they would not know how to spend such an accumulation of money. But still, if I can double my money, if I can triple my money, if I can get 20% more this way, that way. By any means, anya yena artha sanchayan. Well, this is the demonic way of life, because their value is kamo pabhoga parama. Sense gratification is my ultimate goal. So such men are not interested in Krishna consciousness. They're not interested. Vishnu bhakta smita deva asuras tad viparyaya. The Vishnu bhaktas are interested in Krishna. The suras, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Pashanti Suraya. The godly persons are the persons who are always looking toward the lotus feet of Vishnu. It means they're always trying to satisfy Vishnu, or they know that we're the eternal servants of Vishnu. And they know that the real business of life, San Siddhi Haritoshanam, the perfection of my life, if I can satisfy Vishnu, then I'll be fully satisfied. Automatically, I don't have to do something separate for enjoyment. The hand doesn't have to separately keep food in the palm. If it puts it in the stomach, the hand knows I'll enjoy. So the Krishna conscious person, he considers it his perfection in life. If I can satisfy Vishnu, then my perfection is there. The cowherd boys, the gopis, all the brajbasis, their business is how to please Vishnu, Krishna. They have no other business. They're not running some other business on the side that 80% of my time I'll satisfy Krishna and 20% of my time I'll have something else going so that I can be happy also. No such need. That just if we can satisfy Krishna, we'll be completely satisfied. So in the spiritual world, this is going on. And in the material world also, those who are godly, they're trying to satisfy Vishnu. They're the law-abiding persons, those who follow the laws of God. And the demons are the outlaws. Dvabhuta-sargo-lokesmin daiva-asure-evacha. These two kinds of men are there, godly and ungodly. The devotees of the Lord and those who are anti-devotee. So our business is how to serve as devotees of the Lord, how to become devotees of the Lord, and then develop just the opposite qualities of the demons. The demons are busy how to become lusty, how to become greedy, how to become angry, how to become harsh, how to become proud, how to stand on their own two feet and do anything without depending on anyone else. And the devotees, how to become humble, how to depend on Krishna, how to be gentle, how to have transcendental knowledge, how to engage in the service of the Lord. That's also there. Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarvayagunais tatra samasute sura. If a person becomes a devotee of the Lord, automatically he develops all good qualities. The government is interested in developing good qualities in the citizens, good quality in the students, but they don't know the secret. They're pushing this kamo papoga parama, work for sense gratification, work more for sense gratification. And then they get citizens who are cats and dogs, government leaders who are cats and dogs, top to bottom, cats and dogs, because this is their value of life. Etavidati nishchita, this much only. Therefore, haravabhaktasyukata omahajuna, they have no good qualities. Even if it appears for some time that they're responsible, that they're serious, that they're intelligent, but manoratenasati tavatobihi, when they're found out, they're cats and dogs. Because they're on the mental platform, not on the spiritual platform. They're on the platform of the mind, the platform of the senses. And no higher, nothing higher than that. But the Krishna conscious person is on the spiritual platform. He knows I'm not this body. He knows that life is not meant for sense gratification. And he knows that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is there as the Supreme Super Soul, the Supreme Enjoyer. And if I engage in the service of Krishna, then it's my perfection of life. I'm not independent. I'm not a enjoyer. I'm falsely posing as an enjoyer here. Ishwaroham aham bhogi. I'm the controller. I'm the enjoyer. But death comes and kicks us out and spoils our enjoyment also, whatever's left of it. Therefore, the intelligent person wants to cultivate this science of Krishna consciousness, how to please Krishna, how to revive the relationship with Krishna, how to go back to Krishna. This is our Krishna consciousness movement. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Maharaj.
His Holiness Srila Jayadvaita Maharaj is very much known and loved throughout the world for presenting the precise Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, following in the footsteps of our beloved Guru Maharaj, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Maharaj is explaining the nature of material consciousness and how to counteract that with Krishna consciousness. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has written in his beautiful Gurvastakam, Samsara Dava Nalalita Loka, that this material existence, the repetition of birth and death, it is like a blazing forest fire. This forest fire of material existence is unquenchable. There is no fire brigade, no extinguisher that could possibly put it out. Even here in Bombay, we have been undergoing very severe monsoon season. Last night it was pouring rain. The night before, so many flood pouring rain. Some time ago there were floods. The rains just won't stop. But still, even despite all these inundating downpours of monsoon rains, the blazing fire of material existence continues to burn everywhere in this city. The rains cannot touch it. It is like trying to put out a forest fire with a few drops of water. Only the mercy of Krishna, which is coming through Parampara,
through the great devotees of the Lord, can extinguish this blazing forest fire. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna had just played with his friends. Amongst them was Balaram, and Pralambasura, a great demon, disguised himself as one of the cowherd boys who happened to not come to play that day. And Balaram killed Pralambasura in the morning. And the children continued playing various games. They were so much involved in playing that they forgot all about the calves that they were herding. These calves went deeper and deeper into the forest, looking for fresher, greener grasses to eat. They went from one forest to another, to another. Nearby, there was a great fire raging. And because of that fire, there was a lot of heat. The cows and the calves, they became very much thirsty and very hungry. And soon they were lost. They did not know where to go. Who could help them? So the calves were crying. Along with the calves were goats and buffaloes that were herded by Krishna and Balaram and their friends. Meanwhile, during the play, the cowherd boys noticed, the calves are gone. Where are they? They started looking here and there and everywhere, but they could not find the calves. They felt very much guilty. That how is this? Because of our playing, we have forgotten our prescribed duty of protecting the calves. So they were looking, but they could not find them. They were calling for them, but there was no reply. So cowherd boys, they know the science of how to solve problems. Actually, there are so many big, big problems in this world. And due to the artificial consciousness that we have been trained to adopt, we try to create complex solutions to the problems of this world. And thus, we actually increase the problem by our solution. Srimad Bhagavatam explains how the solution to the problems create a bigger problem than the original problem. And then we have to solve the problem created due to the solution of the problem. That creates a bigger problem than the problem which was brought about by the first solution to the original problem. And then what do you think we do? We try to create a solution to the problem which was caused by trying to create a solution to a previous problem which was caused by trying to create a solution to the previous problem. And what do you think happens by the laws of nature? It creates a bigger problem than the problem created by the solution to the problem which was created by the problem that the problem caused by another solution to the problem which is caused by the problem caused by another solution to the problem. And then what do you think we do? That is why Bhagavad Gita explains this material existence. It's like a banyan tree. Where does it begin? Where does it end? Nobody could tell. All we know is just there's just all these problems. But there's a simple solution to all problems. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would often say, and Srila Prabhupada would love to quote him, there's only one problem. a lack of Krishna consciousness. There was only one solution to the problem, Krishna consciousness. How do we become Krishna conscious? By remembering Krishna. How do we remember Krishna? By hearing about Him, by associating His devotees, by serving Him, and most of all, by chanting His holy names. So this is the simple process of solving the problems of this world, by the chanting of the holy names of Lord
Krishna.
And within a life of simple living, high thinking, that's based around Krishna consciousness, there's very simple ways of solving even the phenomenal problems of this world. So the cowherd boys knew the science. The cows were gone. They could not find them anywhere. So what did they do? They started looking at the ground. They were looking for two specific discoveries. One is little tiny calf hoof prints in the dust. When they saw the hoof print, they would follow one hoof print to another, to another, to another. But then, sometimes there was a grassy area. Therefore, there's not much dust. But the cowherd boys knew the science, that you look at the grass and see the size of each blade of grass. And you look for blades of grass less sized than other blades of grass. That means those are the blades of grass that the calves were eating or perhaps stepping on. So they were following the grass. And they were going deeper, deeper, and there, sure enough, they found in a dense forest were the calves. They were crying out for help because they were lost. Actually, we are all like those calves. We have all been somehow or other allured away from our natural home with Krishna and His devotees. In the promise of fresher, greener grasses on the other side. And somehow or other we have come to the place where there's blazing fires close by, causing us heat and thirst. So the cowherd boys were crying out, the calves were crying out for help. And the boys came running. And there was a great reunion. But in this world, there is always the dualities. Even at the happiest moment, there is always the possibility of a great disaster. So they started playing their flutes and playing with their calves, and it was then time to take them home, back to the Vrindavan village. Just as they started going home, the fire was carried by the wind. Just like a chariot driver carries someone on chariot. Similarly, the wind carried the fire. So it enveloped them. The gopas and the calves all around on four sides. They were surrounded by a blazing fire. This fire was so all-consuming and huge that the flames were licking the clouds in the sky. There was nothing that could be seen on any of the four sides around except just a wall of blazing fire coming closer and closer and closer. There was so much heat. The gopas and the calves, they were thirsty, hungry, burning in terrible distress. So what does a devotee do when he's put in that situation? Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhava. He turns to Krishna. Please, Krishna, Balaram, you are very great and you are always most kind upon your devotees. Please, please save us. We are surrendered to you. It is explained by Shukadev Goswami that the cowherd boys and the animals, they turn to Krishna just like a dying man turns for utter shelter toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna was very happy. He told the boys, I will save you, but for now, everyone close your eyes. Krishna said this in a very playful, joking way, because he was with his friends. And with friends, no matter how much the difficulty may be, Krishna was always in a playful mood. So the boys said, all right, we will close our eyes. They all closed their eyes. Krishna opened his mouth. And within a moment, he swallowed the entire fire. Then Krishna told his friends, now open your eyes. They opened their eyes. The entire fire was gone. Not only was the fire gone, but their hunger, their thirst was all pacified. And they weren't even any longer in the Muntatava forest where the fire took place. But they were again under the Bandira tree in Bandiravan where they were originally playing by Krishna's tremendous mystical powers. The cowherd boys began to celebrate. How wonderful is Krishna! In the intimacy of their love in Sakyaras, or friendliness, they were thinking Krishna's not ordinary. But at the same time, because of their loving relationships with each other, Krishna would not allow them to see him as God. Because if they saw Krishna as God, it would disturb the freedom of their loving exchange. So they were thinking, maybe our friend Krishna is a demigod. Otherwise, how could he have such a power to... We don't know how he did it, but somehow or other, this whole fire disappeared in a second. The cowherd boys never knew how he did it. We know. Sukadev Goswami revealed the secret. But if Krishna is a demigod and we're allowed to play with him on an equal level, that means we must be demigods too. So this is how Krishna maintained the sweetness of these loving relationships, even when he was performing the supreme, most powerful pastimes of killing great demons or swallowing massive, massive forest fires. It is explained why Krishna told his friends to close eyes, for several reasons. One is he wanted to make it like a game that he was swallowing the fire. It's like little children, close your eyes and see what I do, like that. Also, as we remember, previously, Krishna ate dirt. Mm-hmm. And the cowherd boys complained to Yashoda, especially Balaram, that Krishna ate dirt. And Yashodamai was so much worried for the health of Krishna because they said he ate a little bit of dirt. So Balaram happened to be there that day with his friends. If they tell Mother Yashoda that I ate a forest fire, how much it will disturb her mind. So he wanted to spare her of this transcendental ecstasy of parental affection in anxiety. And thus Krishna performed the pastime of extinguishing the blazing forest fire. Similarly, this whole material world is a forest fire. It is blazing around us, and it is blazing inside of us. And we can try so many means to put out this fire, but it is impossible. The blazing forest fire around us is not as devastating as the fire within our own hearts. Around us there is Adiatmakari, Dayavakari, Bhautaka, the threefold miseries. We see so much lust and greed, anger, pride, illusion, anger everywhere in this world. Birth after birth after birth, we're subjugated by our environment. So there's a blazing fire. If we read the newspapers or look at the news, we see what kind of a blazing fire is around us. Right here in Bombay. Why they call it Bombay? Whether it's prophetic or not, let us see. But we do know that Pakistan showed their bombs, and we're just across the bay.
That's why we're keeping mum.
Yes. They changed the name to Mumbai. Ready? Anyways, let us see which one. But Mumbai is the name of Durga Devi. And Durga Devi has all her weapons. Whether she's going to protect us or use them against us, that is according to how we live. Hare Krishna. And then there's the ice caps in the polar region melting, and there are prophets and astrologers saying that Bombay might be simply a bay. It might just be part of the bay. It might be covered with water. What to speak of all sorts of communal threats within the city and economic crises appearing imminent throughout the whole world. And so many diseases. We do not know who will catch the next disease when. Little mosquitoes. What to speak of worldwide plagues that people are predicting. So it is a burning fire, material existence. We are trying to hide from the reality, thinking, well, I have my little house, and I have my little family, and I have my job, and I have my television. So I'm protected. But all around you, it's like the ostrich who puts his head in the ground when there's a whole herd of lions all around him ready to devour him. But this is just a small fire. The more devastating fire is the fire within us. Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that lust, kama simply means the desire to enjoy the senses with the sense objects. With the senses, that is kama, but is so strongly rooted within our hearts. Krishna said it is like a blazing fire. The more you try to satisfy your senses, the more the fire grows. Sense gratification is fuel for the fire. We are so foolish. If our house is on fire, an intelligent man will put water on the fire. But a foolish person will get petrol and think, this is liquid. Liquid puts out fire. I have seen how the firemen, they put liquid on fire, so let me put this liquid on fire. Let me get as much as possible. Big, big buckets of this petrol. And they think, it didn't work. I need more. It wasn't enough. Bring a whole fire brigade with trucks of petrol and let me spray it up. And when we see everything burning, we're thinking, it's not enough. Where will I get more petrol? The fire is out of control. This is material civilization. Our hearts are burning with the aggravation of unfulfilled lusty desires. And we're putting material enjoyment, which is the fuel, which creates this fire of material desire, to just become inflamed, enraged, bigger and bigger. This is what we mean when we say the solution to the problem creates a bigger problem than the original problem. Thus, we must understand where is the real solution to this blazing forest fire within our hearts. The fire of desires, as Srila Jayadvaita Maharaj was so nicely explaining with Sanskrit slokas from the revealed authorized scriptures to support his every word. That material desire simply creates anxiety within the heart. The more we become attached to something that gives us enjoyment, the more this fire grows. And then when there's any impediment, there is anger, krodha. So the more we're enjoying within this world, the more anxiety naturally comes into our life, because we have so many attachments we have to sustain, we have to protect. Very, very difficult situation. Painful situation. The source of all misery is the desire to enjoy. Prahlad Maharaj explained, you want to be happy in this world? It's easy. Stop trying to be happy in the world. That's all. But how do we stop trying to be happy in the world? When the anandamayo vyashat, the soul is seeking pleasure. We have to stop drinking petrol. We have to go to where the real water is. And that is Krishna. As the cowherd boys and the little animals, goats, buffaloes and calves, innocent creatures, not big Vedic scholars, but they understood the essence of all Vedic knowledge, that Krishna is the only shelter. In their own simple way, the animals and the little boys, they turned to Krishna, save me. That is the only solution to extinguish this fire that causes misery birth after birth after birth, that is burning within our hearts and all around us. And Srila Prabhupada came by the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to teach us how to turn to Krishna by hearing his glories, by associating with his devotees, with our same senses, serving Krishna, serving the Vaishnavas, and chanting his holy names. It is a simple process, but it is a sure solution. But, Prabhupada explains, we must learn to chant the holy names of the Lord in the same spirit that the animals and the cowherd boys chanted Krishna and Balaram's name in the forest of Munjithavya. They didn't just say, Krishna, please save us. They were crying out, Krishna, you are the only shelter. We are in desperate need of your mercy. We have no other hope. We're not going to turn anywhere else or to anyone else. You are our sole exclusive refuge. Earlier this year, in this same temple room, someone asked Jayadvaita Maharaj, why do we chant the name of Krishna loudly? And he gave a very nice example, which we'll never forget.
that if you're in a dark alley and dacoits surround you with knives and swords to kill you and rob you, do you say, "Help"? No one will take you serious. If someone's walking down the street and they hear, "Help," they'll just think, "Oh, very nice, very nice." But if they hear that you're really loudly calling out desperately, then Krishna will take your chanting seriously. So following in the footsteps of Jayadwaita Maharaj, we must learn to call out for Krishna in a very humble, helpless state of mind, very loudly, knowing he is the only shelter that can rescue us from this burning fire of material existence. So let us chant in this state of mind. So beautiful. Seeing all these hundreds and hundreds of arms raised that looked like flames of a fire going to the sky. Yajnai Sankirtanaprayai. This, in the age of Kali, the greatest of all yajnas is the congregational chanting of the holy names. So when our arms are raised together, it is like the flames of the supreme yajna sending the mercy of Krishna throughout the entire universe. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, when a devotee dances in kirtan, he purifies the whole earth. And when he raises his arms, he sends the mercy of Krishna throughout the entire universe. So there are many problems that are surrounding us, both within and without. We should not be bewildered. We should not be despondent or confused by the apparent unsolvable problems in this world. Who in this room is going to solve the economic problem in Japan or Russia or Indonesia? Who in the world can do it? It's just a fire that's out of control that nobody can do anything about. Who's going to actually control the development of all these nuclear bombs? America and Russia have thousands of these nuclear bombs each. And they're telling everyone else in the world, "You're not allowed to do it. Only we can have them, nobody else. And if somebody else does it, we have to punish you. You are a naughty boy. Only we're allowed to do it." Like parents, we're allowed to stay up and watch television, but if you do it, you will have to get punished. We'll make sanctions against you. But unfortunately, all these other nations are thinking that they're grown up. They don't have to listen to them anymore. So who's going to solve it? Even the most powerful people in the world are pulling their hairs out. We don't have to pull our hairs out. Krishna consciousness, no need of pulling hairs out. It's a fire. There's no solution. And yet, we're in the middle of this fire. The fire is around us and inside of us. What were we going to do? We should not be discouraged. We should not be fearful. We should not be in any way confused about what's happening. We should understand, like the cowherd boys and the little animals
that Krishna is our refuge, and he always protects his devotees. But we must turn to Krishna in a helpless state of mind and keep our mind very, very much fixed that Krishna is our shelter. And in this spirit, in the association of wonderful devotees who always remind us of this most essential truth, no matter what happens in this world, we will be dancing and we will be happily chanting the holy names. They asked Srila Prabhupada, what happens if bombs start dropping, Third World War, what will we do? Prabhupada said, we will chant the holy names of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki.